The congregation may be seated. And I take this opportunity of welcoming you all to Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church, kindly granted, for this funeral service and service of thanksgiving for the life of Tommy Elliott. On behalf of the family circle, let me just thank you for your presence here today, and also for the many cards. There were visits to the home and to the hospital. There were expressions of sympathy, there were phone calls, text messages, and there were those personal words to the family, and I'd just like to say on their behalf how much they appreciate your sympathy, your thoughts, and all the help that you've been to them. I know that it has been a source of great comfort, and it is deeply appreciated and sincerely appreciated by all in the wider family circle. We know that some folks have travelled from a distance today, and we want to welcome you all in our Saviour's name. There are some individuals from Scotland, Marion and Willie, and we do thank them sincerely on behalf of the family for joining with us. I would like also to express my own and the sympathy of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church, the session committee, congregational members and friends, to Tommy's wife Tracy. And we know that we have been upholding her in prayer. And today I know it will be difficult, but we know the Lord is with you and God's grace is sufficient for you. Remembering too Victor and Margaret, people whom Tommy chose to call Mum and Dad. And to Cyril and Jennifer, and to Elizabeth and Hazel, Tommy's sister Gillian, some of his cousins and the wider family circle on both sides, we express our deepest Christian sympathy to you. Trust you will know much of the Lord's grace and help at this time. I've been asked just to say a special word of thanks to some individuals, to Rachel Edwards in particular, for the love, help and the support that she has been to Tracy and others at this difficult time. Special thanks to the doctors and the staff of the Ulster Hospital. We're thinking of Dr. Caddy, Dr. Coburn, and all the medical staff of Ward 12 in the Ulster Hospital, and to all the family and friends who were so kind and so good to this family over the last number of weeks. We want to thank you sincerely for your support, for your prayers, and for your help during the time of illness and now this time of bereavement. A special thanks to the congregation here in Hillsborough for the kind use of their building. It is appreciated, and we're on site. The graveyard is adjacent to the church building, and they've given us the full use of the church and the hall for refreshments, and we do want to acknowledge that. And to the many friends and colleagues of St. John Ambulance, they're out here in good numbers. We welcome you, and I know that Tracy and Tommy had a very long association with St. John Ambulance, and we appreciate your presence here today. Tommy had served some 30 years, then retired, and then went back in for another year or so, and he has a little plaque in his home just in recognition of his service, and we'll hear something of a tribute later on. Please be assured of our prayers for all in the family, remembering you all personally, and I think I omitted one person, that's Stephen. See him sitting there. But we do remember you all in our prayers. We trust God will draw near and give you help and comfort at this time. Could we turn in our order of service, please, to the first hymn on the sheet? On a hill far away, there stood an old rugged cross. Let's stand together, please, as we worship, singing our very best.
Thank you.
seated. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, at the throne of grace, and we'll seek the Lord's face, remembering especially the family. And we know that today is tinged with great sadness, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope, for we know where Tommy is. Tommy is very much alive, and the hope of the gospel means that while we do have his mortal remains, Scripture tells us, because of Adam's sin and our own sin, dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And so we're following God's command to lay to rest the mortal remains, the tabernacle, the shell, the flesh that housed Tommy's immortal soul. But Tommy, in his soul, is alive. He is not dead. The soul does not die like the body, does not corrupt or age, it does not rot or decay, but the soul lives the lifetime of God who gave it, either in God's heaven, saved by grace, or lost in God's hell without Christ. But for Tommy, he was a saved man. There was a time in his experience when, as a sinner, he came to Christ. He repented of his sin, believed that Christ died for his sins on the cross. And for Tommy Elliott, death is the last enemy that escorts him now into the immediate presence of his God and his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is with Christ, and Paul tells us it is far better, and it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. And Tommy walks the golden streets of heaven. He's basking in God's own light, and we're glad that we know where he is. He's not lost today. We often talk about loss. Those of us who were saved by God's grace and born again of God's Holy Spirit, when Christ comes or calls us home, we're going to be united with him in the place that is fairer than day. And so our hearts go out to those that are left behind. For Tommy, it is well. We pray for Tracy. We pray for the immediate family circle. We pray for his sister Gillian and others who are sympathetic to this bereavement, trusting God will give you help and grace at this time. Let's all pray. Our Father, we enter into thy courts by blood alone. We stand in the righteousness of thy dear Son, accepted only in the well-beloved. We realize, O God, we do not come in the name of any denomination. We recognize, O God, our own sinfulness. We realize, O God, that the best of men are men at best, fit firewood for hell if we're honest, sinners by nature and birth and practice. We acknowledge, O God, that we do not deserve thy grace. We do not merit thy favour. We stand condemned. We stand as sinners in thy sight. But we bless thee and praise thee for thy love for us that provided a substitute, that provided a saviour. We bless thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God blessed forevermore, the creator of the ends of the earth. We thank thee that he is Jehovah. He is the God of all creation. And yet he became a true man by virgin birth. We thank thee that God dwelt amongst men as a true man. We thank thee for the miracle of the incarnation. We bless thee that God was veiled in human flesh. And Lord, thou didst not only enter into our humanity, but intervened in our history. We thank thee for that time when Christ Jesus came into the world, and we thank thee it was to save sinners. We thank thee that the mission he came and the purpose for which he was born was that he might die upon the cross, that the God-man might suffer the just punishment for our sin, that he on the cruel cross of Calvary might give his life a ransom for many, that he might pay the price, that he might endure the wrath of God that was our due. We thank thee it fell upon the sinless one, the one who is just, for us the unjust, and he alone brings us to God. We thank thee that he is the only mediator between God and men, and we stand before thee in his high and holy name. We enter heaven through Christ alone. We stand, O God, on the ground of that finished work at Calvary, on the merit of the shed blood, and in that high and holy name we come to worship thee. We give thee thanks, Lord, for the life of our brother and thy servant, Tommy. We thank thee, O God, that he meant so much to many. We thank thee, O God, for the happy and hallowed memories that his wife Tracy has, the family circle have. We thank thee, O God, for the grace and mercy in Tommy's life. We rejoice that he could stand with one of old and say, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." We thank thee, O God, that Tommy was born of thy Spirit and washed in the Saviour's blood. And now he is at home with the Lord. We thank thee he's very much alive. He has seen the King in all his glory. We thank thee, O God, that it was well. It was well with his soul. And it wasn't because he was a good person. It wasn't because he was a religious person. It wasn't because he was associated with some church or some denomination. But we thank thee, O God, he's in heaven because Christ died for his sins. Christ took his place. Christ loved him and gave himself for him. And now he's with Christ, his Saviour. And we do rejoice in that. We thank thee it is well with Tommy. We bless thee his suffering is over. And we rejoice, O God, he has eternal life. And he will never perish. But our hearts go out to others who are left behind. We pray, O God, thou wouldst enable us to pray for them and to enter into their grief. Give us a sympathetic and a compassionate spirit. Give us a love for those who are in any kind of trouble and especially those that have been bereaved. We pray for Tracy today. We thank thee for the evident grace in her life. We thank thee, Lord, that thy hand has been upon her. Thou art with her. And we pray, Lord, you'll give her that much needed help and strength and grace today. We pray for Victor and for Margaret. Remember Cyril and Jennifer and Stephen. We cry to thee, O God, you'll draw near. Remember Elizabeth and Hazel. We pray for Gillian and the cousins that are present. We commend them all to God. We pray, Lord, for the family circles on both sides. And we commend them and commit them to the Lord now. And pray that thou wouldst comfort hearts. Remember those who especially need our prayers today. And Lord, answer prayer for them. Remember this service of thanksgiving. We pray, Lord, that in everything Christ would be uplifted and Christ would be honoured and glorified. Help, Lord, those who take part. Remember our brother Philip as he comes to pay tribute. Remember, too, Lord Peter as he comes to minister in song. Remember Christine as she plays on the organ. Help, Lord, in the congregational singing, the reading of Scripture, the preaching forth of the message. We pray that in everything Christ would be exalted and have the preeminence. So be with us now as we commit ourselves to thee. Lord, remember all who have gathered. We pray, Lord, in the midst of death, we might recognize standing in the presence of a holy God, remembering one who has passed away, that one day we too shall go all the way of the earth. We shall, O God, pass this way ourselves one day. And we pray, O God, you will make each one of us wise, that we might consider our latter end, and where do we stand with God. We pray, O God, the matter of the soul's salvation will be sorted out between the sinner and the Saviour today. May the Spirit of God come, bringing conviction for sin, showing men and women their need of a Saviour, point them to Christ alone who can save, and give them repentance unto life and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it'd be a wonderful thing, this funeral service and service of thanksgiving for Tommy Elliott, if some precious soul would turn and seek the Lord. So hear and answer prayer. We offer it with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, we are delighted to have our good brother, Pastor Philip Evans, with us. Philip is a personal friend of Tommy and was his best man at his wedding. And he's going to pay in a moment or two a personal tribute. I'm standing in for the minister of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church, who, if he was here, would be conducting this funeral service. Sadly, at present, he is not able to come. He's in the land of Kenya with our missionaries, representing, along with Mr. Paul Haffey, another elder from Dromore, our presbytery in the land of Kenya. But he has sent me an email just to convey his sympathy and to say a few words to the family circle. It reads, "It was with deep regret that we heard of the passing of our dear brother Tommy. Our hearts were heavy to think of the loss sustained by Tracy and the whole family circle. It has been our prayer, even here in Africa, that the Lord would heal Tommy and raise him up. But in the will of God, that was not to be. Difficult as it is, we must accept the will of a sovereign God. It was certainly a pleasure to have known Tommy. He was always very encouraging and a perfect gentleman. His kindness and his conduct revealed his faith in the Saviour. In recent years, Tommy has struggled with his health, yet through those times of struggle physically, he knew the grace and help of the Lord. In the many visits with him at home and in the hospital, he still showed his faith in Christ. Tommy was a member of Dromore Free Presbyterian Church, and I know that God's people there will be praying for Tracy and all in the family circle. But please be assured of our love and prayers, even though we cannot be present with you today. Our thoughts and prayers are especially with Tracy. Having had the privilege of conducting their marriage, it seems in just a few years, Tommy has been taken away. But thank God, in the midst of such a loss, we are not without comfort. May you, Tracy, prove, like never before, that God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Bible gives us the hope of the gospel. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." In the midst of loss, we are not without hope. May the blessed hope of the gospel comfort the hearts of all who mourn the loss of our esteemed and beloved brother, Tommy Elliott. Yours in Christ, Ian and Paul. We're going to ask Philip to come now and pay a person.
It was my privilege, it is my privilege today to pay tribute to Tommy, a friend, a colleague, and a brother in Christ. I've known Tommy and Tracy since in around 1995 when I joined St. John Ambulance Brigade. I've thought about so many things I could say about Tommy, and in an effort to keep myself from going on too long, I want to highlight three words that describe one of my best friends. The first is this: Tommy was selfless. Throughout all the time I have known Tommy, he had always been the one to put others first. No matter what the cost or inconvenience to himself. And this was surely demonstrated time after time in both his voluntary work at St. John Ambulance and as a true friend to many. On an evening when I visited Tracy and the family, stories were being told of just how a knock on the wall from the next door neighbour seen Tommy straight round to see what was needed. The second word I have to describe Tommy is committed. If Tommy aligned himself to a task or to a cause, he was 100% committed to it. Whether his commitment to his church, his family, his much-loved St. John Ambulance, his time spent serving in the UDR, or even, as I lately learnt, time spent serving with the Shankill Road Mission, of which some folks have asked me to pass on their sympathies today. Tommy and I spent many hours on duty in St. John, and when duties were being handed out at the division, Tommy was one of whom any divisional superintendent could depend. Of the many ambulance duties Tommy and I took on, one day comes to mind. We started the day at Ormel Park for a sponsored run for a cancer charity and then made our way to Portadown for a mini rugby. After sailing up and down their Gaffaki Road several times, we eventually found the rugby pitch, only to find that there were 8 matches already being played at one time. Already there were a queue of casualties waiting for us at each pitch and at the organiser's caravan. Tommy, as cool and calm as he always appeared, just said to me, "Let's go, we can handle it." Tommy, spotting a doctor he knew, enlisted him to work, we went. Tommy was intrigued to find out the secret spray that the doctor had on that day, which seemed to just magically get the boys back up and going again. So I seen him chasing after the doctor. "What is it? What are you spraying up every time onto these boys when they go down onto the ground?" Eventually we got the secret. It was shaving foam. After which we had the ongoing joke going on duty: who's got the shaving foam today? The third word that sums up Tommy is saved. Tommy was not one to shout and preach about his faith, but it was clear to me that Tommy had an experience of God's forgiveness, and that his salvation was sure. Tommy taught radio communications within St. John Ambulance, and I was with no doubt that Tommy had good communication with his God. Tommy phoned me a number of years ago and asked me to be his best man. And I was very happy to do so. Tommy knew that God had directed him into the marriage with Tracy. Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in them." Tommy delighted to walk and talk with God. Over the past few weeks, Tommy and Tracy have come through a battle of Tommy's illness together, but they have not done so alone. Tommy, on every time I visited, was able to testify that God was with him and that his Saviour never, ever failed him. On Tuesday evening, I sent a quote of Joshua 1:9 to Tracy: "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for thy God, the Lord thy God, is with thee." Last week, Tommy told me, "I have nothing to fear. My God is with me." Tommy was selfless, committed, and above all, saved. When it came to the past few weeks, his departure from this scene of time, the only thing that counted was that he was saved and in right standing with God. Tommy Elliott, promoted to glory, servant of God, well done.
Personal tribute. Sincere thanks to Pastor Philip Evans for that personal tribute. Tommy not only loved the Lord, but he loved the praises of the Lord. His favourite hymn or song was called "Faithful One." Faithful One, so unchanging. Tremendous words. You know, if Tommy was permitted today by the Lord just to come to this house and speak a word to you, I feel this very hymn song would be a fitting tribute. We do have our brother, Mr. Peter Mander, and he's going to sing this song. It's Tommy's favourite. I want you to listen to the words, because I feel you can hear Tommy's voice in it. The sentiments are his. And if you had anything to say to us today, I'm telling you, listen to this hymn. This is what he would say to us.
Well, I also too wanted to say it is a privilege to be able to sing this song, this favourite song of Tommy's, and I do want to ensure Tracy of our prayers at this sad and difficult time.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again.
What a testimony. And no doubt Tommy experienced that in his own heart and in his own life. A very touching moment, I know, for his wife Tracy to hear that song played on such an occasion. But you can also hear the words of Tommy just echoing out in that second verse. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. I did not know that hymn was going to be sung today until just a few days ago. And in preparation for this funeral service, I chose a text of scripture that really is the scriptural basis for a hymn like that. It's found in the 61st Psalm. I want to read a few verses together. Psalm 61. And I want to commence to read at the very first verse. We'll only read down to verse 4. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 61, verse 1. The psalmist David said, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee.
When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah, which means pause for thought. Think about what you have heard. Consider what has just been read. If you're singing the psalm, the word Selah means stop. Take a breath before you move on. When you read the psalm, the word Selah means stop and think about what has been read. I want to leave the words of verse 2 with you in closing. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David was a man of deep emotion. In fact, whenever you look at the book of Psalms, you'll see his gentle and tender heart revealed. He has often spoken of his difficulties. The psalm was penned, by the way, on the occasion of the death of his son Absalom. How appropriate this psalm is for Tracy and for the wider family circle. David could never get over the death of Absalom. You can hear his lament there in the Old Testament. Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died instead of thee. And there was a reason behind that lament, by the way, which I'm not going into at this funeral service. But sufficient it is to say that David was overwhelmed by the death and passing of his son Absalom. Such was the bond and love between the father and the son that he never really got over the death of his son. And he penned on the occasion of his passing the words of this psalm. And he said in the midst of deep sorrow and grief, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, guide me, direct me, draw me to the rock that is higher than I. Friends, we're not left to speculate who this rock is. In fact, God gives us his own interpretation. We're not left to conjecture. We're not left to man's speculation. But Paul, writing under inspiration to the church at Corinth, speaks of the rock in the Old Testament, no matter where it's found. Even here in Psalm 61, verse 2, here's what he says, that rock was Christ. Isn't that remarkable? The rock now is personified. It is a person. David was speaking of his rock. Some people say that my wife is my rock. They tell us that my husband is my rock. It's mostly, by the way, is the wife who's the rock, the anchor in the home, they tell us. But Tommy, his rock was Christ. We heard about that in the song, Faithful One. You are my rock of peace. You are my anchor. He had a solid rock upon which he stood. And the rock, the Bible says, that rock was Christ. So we could literally paraphrase this text today and say, when your heart is overwhelmed, you pray, lead me to Christ. He's the rock that is higher than I. He is my anchor. He is my bedrock. He is the rock of ages, cleft for me. And you know, it is my heartfelt prayer today and the prayer of every child of God that Tracy and the wider family circle would be led to Christ today, the rock of their salvation. The hymn writer penned these beautiful words, no doubt with this verse in mind. O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And in the rock Christ Jesus you will find a covert, a refuge, a hiding place. in his person, through his work, in his grace, in his love, you will have an anchor for the soul in the midst of every storm in life. For Christ is the answer. And could I say, as I move on, that when God's Holy Spirit leads a grieving soul or a guilty soul to Christ, then firstly, true sympathy will be extended to you. Now, I know that we have tried our best with the best words and cards that we have picked and all the messages that we have conveyed to Tracy. We have tried to show her that we're entering into her sympathy. But unless you have passed this way yourself, then we don't fully understand. I have never lost a marital partner. I've lost a father and a mother, yes. I've never lost my wife. And perhaps you have never lost your husband. And in many ways, we cannot truly sympathize, for we don't fully understand. We can convey words to Tracy. We can say we're thinking about you. We're praying for you. We could even choose a card that says more than we could ever say and pass it on to her. We could send her a poem, a verse of scripture. But if we're honest, at a time like this, unless we have passed this way ourselves, we cannot truly empathize. Oh yes, we can sympathize. We can at least enter into something of how she must feel. We could even consider what it must be. But unless you've been there, you can't truly empathize. But could I say to Tracy today, I'm pointing to one who has been there. One who is in the Bible called the sympathizing Savior. You see, if you haven't passed through a great trial yourself, if you haven't suffered yourself, if you haven't endured affliction yourself, then sometimes you don't have the sympathy. In other words, you don't get it right. It could be that later on people might say to Tracy, you need to pick yourself up and go on. You need to get yourself out and about. They don't really understand. And therefore, they don't possess the quality of mercy. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the sinner's friend. He's the sympathizing Savior. Tracy, he has passed through death. Death on the cross. He has suffered grief. In fact, the Bible calls him the man of sorrows, who's acquainted with our grief. The Bible tells us that he bare our sorrows and our griefs on his own body on the tree. And I point you to one who has the quality of mercy today. And he's your great exalted high priest. He's your Savior. He's Tommy's God. And today he is the faithful one. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. He will see you through this. And he says, Tracy, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. We cannot comprehend, nor do we know the providential workings of God, but all we know is this, Tracy, that where we cannot trace the Lord, we're called upon to trust. And may God give you grace to trust him who is perfect in all that he does. For when the Lord leads you by his Spirit, the hymn writer asked the question, he also answered it beautifully. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Here's the answer. Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul and the waves of trouble roll and you need a friend to help you, listen to it. He is the one. So therefore, Tracy, and all who are grieving, cast your care upon him. He careth for you. He is your refuge and strength, a very present help in your trouble. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, Psalm 55:22, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege today to carry everything to God in prayer. Like Hezekiah,
spread the matter before the Lord. Tracy talked to him about it. He understands. So when the Spirit of God leads a grieving soul to Christ, true sympathy will be extended. Could I say secondly, that when the Spirit of God leads a grieving soul to Christ, the rock, then true strength will be experienced. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Listen to this. "The Lord is the strength of my life." Now, left to ourselves, if we're honest, you and I could never cope at a time like this. I don't care how strong you are. I don't even care how hard-hearted you are. I can tell you, when you come to pass through the veil of sorrow, and when bereavement and the loss of someone so near and dear to you is taken away, well, we're weak, we're helpless, we're confused, we're numb, we don't understand. And if we're honest, we cannot cope at such a time. But left to ourselves, that is. But there's a friend today that sticketh closer than any brother. There is a friend who loveth at all times, who says, "I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Who says, "I am your God." And the Apostle Paul had this to say, and it's remarkable. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And when the Spirit of God leads you to Christ, true strength is experienced by you. Those words, "I can do," is translated "endure." So you could literally translate the verse like this: "I can endure all things through Christ because he enables me, he strengthens me, he helps me, and he gives me power and grace." And so in the rock Christ Jesus today, Tracy, you will find your greatest source of strength. He has promised you, "I will strengthen thee." In the bedrock of his word, the Bible, you can stand upon a sure foundation, and through Christ, you will have the power of God to uphold you and the promises of God to sustain you. Isaiah 41:13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Therefore, grieving soul, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And then finally, when the Spirit of God leads a grieving soul to Christ, not only will true sympathy be extended and true strength be experienced, but could I say, true safety will be enjoyed by you. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. He's a shelter in the time of storm. And in Christ Jesus, the rock of your refuge, you will be sheltered from every storm. And even though the billows rise, even though the angry waves will come, even though, like the psalmist, you'll feel at times you've been overwhelmed by waves of grief, I'm saying this to you: hide your soul and your faith in Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Christ is the strength of your life, and you will enjoy true safety in him. We have in many of our hymns expressions like that. Hiding in thee, speaking of Christ, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And today, men and women, I know no other place of safety, no other place of comfort for the grieving soul apart from the blessed rock of ages, the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Tracy, and the wider family circle, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God will lead you to Christ. There you will find true sympathy, true strength, true safety. And just as I finish, let me just speak to all who have gathered in this meeting house this afternoon. I just want your attention for a moment. I want you to listen to me. Look at me and listen to me. Christ is not only a refuge for the grieving soul, but Christ is a refuge for the guilty soul. That's right. I'm glad that there is a place of refuge and salvation for those who sense that all is not well between them and God, to those who feel that they are sinners in God's sight, that have had revealed to them their sinnership
by the Spirit of God, that perhaps have a sense of guilt, and perhaps have a sense that if they were to die and it was their mortal remains that were being laid into Mother Earth, they know that their soul would not be in heaven but in hell, lost forevermore. They realize their church cannot save them. There's no good works that you do can give you peace with God. There's no rite and ritual in the church, neither baptism nor confirmation. There is no communion altar. There is no other thing on this known planet and created universe that could ever save your soul, neither in you nor in this created universe. But Christ alone is the only Savior. And you might say today, well, I wish this service was over and I was out of here. But I'm going to say something to you. You may never see me again. I may never see you again. But we are in the presence of a holy God. And we are before the Lord. And you have a soul that will live the lifetime of God. That's right. A soul that never dies. A soul that will live either in God's heaven, saved by grace, just like Tommy, or will perish in God's hell. And friends, listen to me. We believe that with all of our hearts. We are sure there is a place called hell. We are absolutely certain there is a place called heaven. Ah, but listen. We are also absolutely assured that the only way to heaven is in Christ and in Christ alone. And therefore we exhort you today, like Tommy did, to repent of your sin and to believe that Christ died for your sins upon the cross, that he suffered the just punishment and the wrath of God to turn away wrath from your soul, that you might be saved today. My friend, listen to me. There are many people, and they do not like the gospel preached. But I know people who are saved by God's grace have thanked a pastor and a minister and a preacher for being faithful to their soul. You may not like it, but you need it. And you need to hear the word today. God providentially has brought you to this place. You're not here by chance. You're not here because you have come out of sympathy. Listen, ultimately, God has brought you to this place that he might speak to your soul, that you might get right with God, that you might prepare to meet the Lord, that you might turn from your sin and take Christ as your Savior and go out into eternity saved by God's grace alone. Now listen to me. Would you not like to go to heaven? Would you not like to lay your head on the pillow tonight knowing that if anything happened to you, it's well with your soul? And that your soul will live on in heaven with the Lord? Your friend, that can be true for you today. If you'll only come and flee to Christ for refuge, hide your soul in him, shelter beneath the blood of his cross, find peace with God through the work of his cross, rest upon what he has done for sinners like you and me, and trust him today. Believe on him. Receive him into your heart as your own and personal Savior. Call upon him. Cry out to him for mercy. Look to him by faith, and he will save you. He will save you now, this very day. And don't you worry about any other person or any other thing. You look after yourself and make sure today, as we close this service now, that it's well between you and God. Let me just ask you in closing, where do you stand with God? Are you saved? Has there been a time in your life, a specific moment, a definitive time, when you were converted by the grace of God? For one day you're going to meet the Lord. One day you will stand before him. And it is our prayer of love for your soul that you might be right with him. And like Tommy, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, trusting in the finished work of the cross, he entered into glory, saved by sovereign grace. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is Christ. Let's turn in our order of service, please, to the final hymn. If you don't have an order of service, there may be a hymn book in the pew in front of you. It's the hymn 351, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way."
Could I ask you just to remain standing after the hymn for the closing prayer and benediction? And as the remains leave the church building, there will be a short committal service. We've done all our preaching here in the church. We're just going to do a very brief and short committal service. And afterwards, there is tea and refreshments for everyone in the church hall. So please stay and meet and greet the family afterwards. Let's stand together after the key for the final hymn, please.
just like to draw your attention to the back of your order of service. Tracy and the family wish to thank you for your presence at this service today, and they warmly invite everyone to join them for refreshments in the church hall following the service and interment. The family requests that in lieu of floral tributes, donations may be sent, if desired, to Every Home Crusade, checks made payable to Bobby Morrison, funeral director, and you do have the address. Just remain standing for the benediction and also as the remains leave the church building. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon all who know and love Christ, both now and forevermore. Amen. Spirit to Christ, true sympathy will be extended to you.